For this purpose, he will use standard hypnotic procedures such as, for example, quoting, "You are feeling heavy and sinking into your chair. Now imagine that you feel light and buoyant as though you're rising out of it," unquote. Or like this, quote, "All right, and now you are fully relaxed," unquote. He is suggesting a state to you. It is not his duty or his right to control your mind. You came to church for scriptural truth, not for all that. And then he will instruct you in the importance of imagery. Imagery in drawing closer to God. He will tell you that you are about to enter such an experience. And then he will tell you of a picture for your imagination to focus upon. A picture for you to visualize to begin with. He will probably instruct you to visualize an incident in the life of Christ. That sounds harmless, doesn't it? In a later practice session, he may ask you to imagine a faraway place, such as a tropical island. Or, significantly, he will suggest that you imagine an event in your early childhood. Now, that's standard procedure. Psychologists regularly do it. They get you to imagine, recall events in your early childhood, and then they place within you, or frankly, Satan works through them to place within you implanted memories that never were there of things that happened in your childhood, and it causes troubles. By now, the kingly power of reason and judgment is in abeyance, and you are in a half-dreaming state if you are going along with that man. As the speaker drones on in soft, slow words about what you are seeing as you stand beside the Sea of Galilee and view Jesus speaking to his disciples, as the lap, lap of the water strikes against their beach boats, he will assure you that you have drawn closer to Christ by doing this. And that you should regularly do this at a set time each day. He will also instruct you to keep a journal in which you will daily write your imaginings. Can you imagine such a thing? The name for it is journal. That's what they call it, journal. You are to write your daily imaginings in that journal. And you are supposed to set aside a certain amount of time each day for, quote-unquote, meditation, during which you are to imagine pictures. Then you're to write them down. This, he says, will aid you in deepening your meditations. Can you imagine such a thing? We are to take the Word of God. We are to open it. We are to read God's Word, connect with God through His Word and through prayer. That's to be our meditation, my friend, not pictures and imaginings. Interestingly enough, the speaker will have little to say about putting away of sin, little to say about obeying the laws of God, little to say about making the needed changes in your life, raising your standards, or studying the testimonies. He won't tell you much about that. Instead, you'll be told that the pathway to deeper holiness lies in what he calls meditation, which amounts to imagining yourself to be somewhere else and calling that deeper holiness. A little discreet inquiry afterward may elicit the fact that your pastor recently attended a conference-sponsored ministerial retreat conducted by Dr. William Lovelace, a Southern California pastor. Beware, my friend, beware. Quote, "Satan can present a counterfeit so closely resembling the truth that it deceives those who are willing to be deceived, who desire to shun the self-denial and sacrifice demanded by the truth. But it is impossible for him to hold under his power one soul who honestly desires at whatever cost to know the truth." Great Controversy 5:28. People call their meditations and falsehoods the gospel, and then work with demons to convert men to them. Side by side with the preaching of the gospel Agencies are at work which are but the medium of lying spirits. Many a man tampers with these merely from curiosity, but seeing evidence of the working of a more than human power, he is lured on and on until he is controlled by a will stronger than his own. He cannot escape from its mysterious power. And continuing on with the statement, the defenses of the soul are broken down. He has no barrier against sin. When once the restraints of God's word and his spirit are rejected, no man knows to what depths of degradation he may sink. Desire of Ages, 258. That was written in 1898. You notice how frequently the statements were penned between 1895 and 1905? Repeatedly we find that. Part 4, How to Avoid Being Hypnotized. Well, now you have a much better idea of how the hypnotist will try to catch you and your loved ones. But we've not yet discussed how to avoid being hypnotized. I should mention here that in what I have told you this evening, I have been careful not to mention too much about the explicit details of how to hypnotize. That was done purposely. But more important, however, is what you should do to make sure you're not hypnotized. So first, let me tell you some of the basic rules of defense. First, only go where truth is taught. If you have reason to believe that someone is teaching error, you really should not be there. And your loved ones should not be there either. If someone wants to come to your home and present some new theories, or if you are invited to a friend's house to hear a speaker, should you go? The question to ask yourself is this: will truth be taught at that meeting? If it is, then you are safe. But what is truth? Pilate asked that same question, but did not wait for an answer. I will tell you now what truth is. It is information which exactly mirrors the beliefs, standards, and objectives given in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. Only in those books can you find exact truth, nowhere else. A man who is in the truth loves the truth, speaks the truth, directs you to the source of truth, not to himself. And he will not be trying to practice hypnosis on you. So the safest sources to go to for the facts you need to be saved and weather the storm ahead is to go directly for yourself to the Bible and to the Spirit of Prophecy. Thank God we know what to do. Satan can only reach you through the avenues of your soul. In this study, we have focused on the two primary avenues, what you see and what you hear. Guard those two avenues to the soul. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you listen to or view. There are several basic types of reading or viewing material. So, let's consider them for a moment. First, there is the Word of God. There's Scripture, the Bible, Spirit of Prophecy. Second, there are facts in the world around you. Third, there are theories. Fourth, there is fiction. Now, as far as fiction goes, having nothing to do with it, and add to that all the cheap, exciting stories that are available. Frankly, beware of reading too many exciting true stories. Such stories only whet your appetite for more excitement. This prepares you to accept a cultist when he arrives. Why? Because that cultist always seems exciting at first. Don't live for excitement. This is because Satan places an aura of excitement on the minds of those willing to consider what his servants have to present to them. So, my friend, don't live for excitement. Don't live to always hear some new thing. Then there are the theories. Value Scripture more than theories. Frankly, if you would avoid being deceived, you must learn to love reading the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy more than you love reading or listening to new theories. Be honest with yourself. What are you preparing yourself for? Are you fortifying your mind with truth and preparing for heaven? Or are you always chasing after some new theory that comes along? You know, the Athenians did that, Acts 17. They always lived to hear some new thing. But that is not safe. If we do that, we are preparing ourselves for a possible eventual capture. Now, cultists initially capture their prey with fascinating new theories, which promise great things. You will have to make some solid decisions and act upon them. If you would safeguard yourself in the future, for example, when theories are offered to you, whether it is might be in sermons, papers, newsletters, magazines, books, audio cassettes, videos, should you be investigating them all? Settle it in your mind that it is not your job to police all the novelties which come along. And fill your mind with them while you are trying to search for some truth among the error. In the process of searching for some truth among the error, you can become fascinated with the error. That has happened to many others. In what way are you less vulnerable? The situation is remarkably similar to picking through garbage cans, searching for scraps of food, while over on the side sits a four-course dinner in the Word of God. We live in an amazing time in history. Every wind of doctrine is blowing. New theories are being thought up all the time. Yet our Heavenly Father foresaw what would happen, and He provided us with the Bible and the books upon books of spirit of prophecy writings. Feast on the four-course dinner in God's Word. You'll be fully satisfied. Every page in God's inspired Word is pure, unwinnowed truth. Be content with truth. Do not exhaust your mental energy searching for scraps of new light elsewhere. If you are determined to avoid error, read the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and not the doctrinal theories. I'll say it again. If you are determined to avoid error, give your attention to the old truths and the Bible and the spirit of prophecy rather than the new ideas which people dream up and recommend so highly. Be frank about it. How much real truth have you ever found outside of God's Word? Thoughtfully consider it. Very little. Have you ever found any? But the danger in trying to find that little truth while trying to avoid accepting error is quite real. And it's getting worse every day. Ericksonian hypnosis changed the picture when he brought that out in the early 1960s. Did you know you can accept error without realizing it? Just listen to random theories long enough and you will be molded to some extent by the speaker. We must often be with God's Word, or we will veer off into strange paths. For we are told, quote, the experience of the past will be repeated. In the future, Satan's superstitions will assume new forms. Errors will be presented in a pleasing and flattering manner. False theories, clothed with garments of light, will be presented to God's people. Thus, Satan will try to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Most seducing influences will be exerted. Minds will be hypnotized. 8 Testimonies 230, pardon me, 293. My friend, be grounded in the Word of God. Be grounded in it. But how do you become grounded? Study, study, study. To do that is not difficult. The secret of success is to do it every day. On your knees, plead with God for help to understand His Word and to obey it. And then read His Word and determine afterward amid prayer that you will obey it. That's all it takes. It is an ongoing process. Read through the Conflict of the Ages series. Give special attention to Great Controversy. Read it with early writings. Read Christ Object Lessons. That's an invaluable book. Testimonies to Ministers is important. Study here and there in the 9 volumes of the Testimonies. Read your Bible. And beware of the moment when you start thinking that it's getting dull. That's a danger sign. Now, you may think you know most everything that is in God's Word, but there's a lot you do not know. Open any page of the Bible or Spirit of Prophecy at random and in a spirit of humble prayer, begin reading, and you will find a truth you need right then. I guarantee it. Did you know that God honors those who honor Him? when we prefer reading God's Word more than we read theories, we are honoring Him. Did you know that? We honor Him when we honor His Word enough to make it our daily companion. The people who are captured generally fall into one or the other of two classes. First, there are those who did not know the Word of God. Such people are sitting ducks, ready to be taken. They may be professors of the faith, but they have not drunk deeply of Scripture. They do not know enough truth to be able to recognize error when it is presented. And sometimes error is so subtly presented that it is with difficulty that it can be detected. It is too late in history to disregard the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. It is too late to imagine that we can toy with all the new theories and yet avoid being captured by some of them. When men first arrive with their theories, they seem to be such nice people. I know one man who travels the countryside, stopping here and there. He has such a deep, soft tones. He never seems ruffled, surely. He must be a man of God. But he teaches strange ideas foreign to the inspired writings. Do not accept new ideas because the one presenting them has a sanctified appearance, because he has ministerial credentials, because he has administrative titles. Do not accept new ideas because the one presenting them expresses deep love for you or because he requires that you accept his ideas that night or else. That's a real danger sign. People who listen to every new thing without realizing it gradually begin changing their set of priorities. Earlier in life, they may have studied God's inspired word and valued it above everything else. But gradually, they came to love the excitement of hearing new things from charismatic speakers. Listening to men becomes more important to them than quietly, prayerfully studying the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Quote, "The question of the apostle to the Galatians may well be asked, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" And continuing on, "There is always a bewitching power in heresies and in licentiousness. The mind is so deluded that it cannot reason intelligently, and an illusion is continually leading it from purity. The spiritual eyesight becomes blurred, and persons of hitherto untainted morals become confused under the delusive sophistry of those agents of Satan who profess to be messengers of light. It is this delusion which gives these agents power." That's in 5 Testimonies 142. Oh, my friend, plead with God to protect you and your loved ones. Let this be your daily prayer and live in such a way that you are cooperating with the angels in answering those prayers. But know that to the degree you are willing to chase off after every new theory that comes along, to that degree you are departing from the umbrella of protection. We have been clearly told, do not go where error is wont to be taught. We live in an hour in history when we need to know the truth. How can you understand God's word better so you will be filled with that truth? You do it by pleading with God to help you understand the Bible and spirit of prophecy for yourself, and then carefully studying both for yourself. No part of God's word is unnecessary. Do not set aside the Bible. Do not set aside the spirit of prophecy. Use it all. Bask in it all. Soak in it all. No one who daily pleads with God for protection and guidance and who earnestly searches His word will be left to fall a prey to the enemy. Is that true? It is true. If you do your part, God will do His. God will care for His own who are neither heedlessly rushing out into danger nor remaining there when they find they are on enchanted ground. You don't go out after it, and when you find you're there, you get out of there. Quote, "The hypnotic influence of Satan will rest upon those who turn from the plain word of God to pleasing fables." 8 Testimonies 2:94. My friend, listen to no man who insists that he is right. and insists that you must set aside your beliefs and accept his. Such a man is a controller, not a learner. He wants to control you and get you. He wants to get your loved ones. He wants to get your money. We are told this, cut away from yourselves everything that savors of hypnotism, the science by which satanic agencies work. 2, Mind, Character, and Personality, 7:16. My friend, listen to no Adventist who wants to only use the Bible. In your discussions with him and in his presentations to you, he does this because he is afraid of the spirit of prophecy. It contains far more detailed warnings against the deceptions of these last days than are to be found in the Bible. Knowing that, he has found it easier to twist the Bible. I'll say it again. Neither study with nor listen to any Adventist who comes to you with new theories who requires that only the Bible be used. Why do I say that? I say that because when we work with those out in the world, we use the Bible alone. That's understandable. But among ourselves, we have the amplified truth, and we're so thankful for it. Don't set aside part of the truth and hope that you can succeed. What that man is doing, he is asking that you set aside the spirit of prophecy and only use the Bible to get its interpretation. Well, that seems fair enough now, doesn't it? But his objective is very devious. What he actually wants you to do is to accept his interpretation of the Bible instead of the spirit of prophecy interpretation of the Bible. And that puts the whole thing in a different light, doesn't it? And that you dare not do. My friend, be inflexible on this point. Refuse to set aside the spirit of prophecy. Listen to no man who wants you to set aside even a small part of the spirit of prophecy. He may tell you that part of it was written by someone else, or that part of it is no longer valid today. Watch out for a man like that. Get out of there quick. He may tell you that part of it was plagiarized. Flee on the spot. That man has error to present. He is trying to downgrade the worth and importance of the spirit of prophecy so you will have less confidence in it. You'll have less defense against error. He may profess confidence in the spirit of prophecy, but at the same time, he's trying to destroy your confidence in it. Any man who honestly wants your best good will want you to use both the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. I'll say it again. Any man who wants your best good will not try to take away from you either the Bible or the spirit of prophecy. Any man who has bad motives will want to take the spirit of prophecy from you. Refuse to let any man do that. Refuse to let any man take any part of the spirit of prophecy from you. Quoting, "My soul is made very sad to see how quickly some who have had light and truth will accept the deceptions of Satan and be charmed with a spurious holiness when men turn away from the landmarks the Lord has established that we may understand our position as marked out in the prophecy. They are going, they know not whither. Spurious doctrines, spurious piety, spurious faith. Much that is fair in appearance abound all around us. Teachers will come clothed as angels of light, and if possible, they will deceive the very elect. The youth need to learn all they can of the truth, if they would not be deceived by the tissue of falsehood that Satan will invent." We're told that in Evangelism 3:63 and 3:64. Quote, "The one who attracts minds to himself leads them to separate from the true source of their strength. It is not God's purpose that any human being should yield his mind and will to the control of another, becoming a passive instrument in his hands. No one is to merge his individuality in that of another. He is not to look to any human being as the source of healing. His dependence must be in God. In the dignity of his God-given manhood, he is to be controlled by God himself, not by any human intelligence. God desires to bring men into direct relation with himself. In all his dealings with human beings, He recognizes the principle of personal responsibility. He seeks to encourage a sense of personal dependence and to impress the need of personal guidance. He desires to bring the human into association with the divine, that men may be transformed into the divine likeness. But Satan works to thwart this purpose. He seeks to encourage dependence upon men. When minds are turned away from God, the tempter can bring them under his rule. He can control humanity. Ministry of Healing, 242, 243. Oh, my friend, beware of men who quote a little bit of Bible or Spirit of Prophecy and then give a lot of theories in between the bits, in between the bites. It is very easy to quote a passage from the Bible or Spirit of Prophecy, then give an irrelevant large amount of application or begin talking about something really quite different. False teachers do this all the time. They keep their followers so mixed up they cannot think straight. Former followers of David Koresh said he did it continually. It was reported in the news magazines. Beware of men who run from one topic to another, continually switching, especially when confronted with an objection to one of their errors. Now that's a basic one. Over and over, you'll see it happen. You'll object to the error, they'll jump to another point. Beware, beware. If a man can't honestly take it on and answer it and deal with it, there's something wrong here. This style of presentation is fascinating because it all appears so mysterious. The man is jumping here and he's jumping there. But somehow, you cannot figure out what he's talking about, so you assume it must all be very deep, and perhaps you're not smart enough, and you need to apply yourself more closely to what he has to say. My friend, you need to apply yourself to what the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy has to say. The truth of the matter is that the speaker is just rambling around, purposely causing confusion so he can mesmerize minds. A confused mind is easy to catch. A confused mind is easy to hypnotize. Beware of men who see metaphors in everything. They apply Old Jerusalem to this and the ram and the he-goat to that. Beware of men who spiritualize away truth, but applying one established truth to something far different. Beware of men who see symbols in everything literal and change that which is symbolic into something literal and apply the literal to something symbolic. Go to God's Word. Know for yourself what it says about these matters, and be not swayed by every wind of blowing doctrine. Beware of men who use big words and abstract concepts which only mystify the issues. A man who has truth to present will be able to say it in simple words. Watch out for these people with their big words. All truth comes from the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, and the words there are very simple. Beware of men who take great last day events of major Bible prophecies, which will not begin until the national Sunday law crisis or afterward, and apply them to temporary events in the Middle East, Wall Street crises, Jewish conspiracies, or the like. Beware of men who take a brief, temporary international crisis and call it the fulfillment of the major prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. That was done with World War II. It was done with First World War and the Second World War. It was done with the Six-Day War of 1967. It has been done with the Iraqi War. All those engagements are past and we're still here. And yet the men are coming up with new theories for the next year or two. It's always the next year or two. If you want to know what are the real crisis events of the future, you will find them explained in detail in the last half of the book, Great Controversy. Beware of men who think that every time prophecy must have many fulfillments. Some prophecies do have several fulfillments, but beware of these men who can always find all kinds of fulfillments for every little prophecy. Learn the fulfillments of the Bible time prophecies as explained in the Spirit of Prophecy. That's the answer. Stick with them and you will not err. Beware of men who set time. Beware of men who begin their talk with possibilities and end with certainties. That which is initially presented as a possible application is soon transformed into an absolute fact. And soon after that, you must accept it or you'll be lost. And these absolute, quote, absolute facts upon which still more theories and applications are piled, it just becomes a hodgepodge and your mind's confused and soon, where are you? Beware of men who are always right and cannot be reasoned with. Did you catch that? Beware of men who are always right and cannot be reasoned with. Beware of men who become very excited and concerned when it appears you may influence their followers or those they are in the process of taking control of. That's a real danger sign. A true man of God wants to connect you with God, with the Holy Spirit, with the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. He's not trying to take control of people for himself. He's not trying to get a following for himself. Beware of such people, whether they're church leaders or whether they're independents. They all can be dangerous. If they really were sincere, they would want all concerned to carefully study the matter for themselves in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, and not make any decisions until they were fully satisfied it was correct. Quoting, "In matters of conscience, the soul must be left untrammeled. No one is to control another's mind, to judge for another, or to prescribe his duty. God gives to every soul freedom to think and to follow our own convictions." Desire of Ages, 5:50. Quote, "You belong to God, soul, body, and spirit. Your mind belongs to God, and your talents belong to Him also. No one has a right to control another man's mind and judge for another, prescribing what is his duty. There are certain rights that belong to every individual in doing God's service. No man has any more liberty to take these rights from us than to take life itself. God has given us freedom to think, and it is our privilege to follow our impressions of duty. We are only human beings, and one human being has no jurisdiction over the conscience of another human being. Each one of us has an individuality, an identity that cannot be surrendered to any other human being. We are individually the workmanship of God." Letter 92, 1895. But when you go to a meeting where you find a boring presentation, a meeting that isn't necessarily hypnotic, but just a regular boring meeting, and you crave the Word of God and you're hungry, and what should you do? Well, if you're attending your local church, always take a copy of Desire of Ages or some other good book with you. If you find that the message is irrelevant, boring, or upsetting, open God's Word and become absorbed in it and get a feast for your soul. Now, this counsel is given on the assumption that you are in a situation in which you cannot easily walk out and leave, and it's not a what we'd call a hypnotic type situation. But these things do happen. You cannot be caught when you're absorbed in God's Word. Keep that in mind. But there are those situations in which you dare not sit silently. There are situations in which something must be done. And that which is presented may be more than boring. It may be dangerous air. Sometimes you must get up and walk out, taking your loved ones with you. And when possible, you try to warn others before you leave. You know, actually, it's a fact. Do not be passive when error is being presented. This is extremely important. Don't just quietly sit and take it in. But what should you do? If it is a house meeting, you must speak up when error is presented. Do not let it pass, for then more error will be piled on. For that is how the false teachers operate. They present an error, then use that as the basis for another one. Soon so much speculation is flying by, the audience gives up trying to analyze it for correctness. An entire structure of confused falsehoods is gradually stacked up, each on top of another. Such a situation is mesmerizing in its effect. My friend, babbling is confusion, and confusion is hypnotic. There are times when you dare not stay and listen to confusing presentations. Get out of there. In fact, seriously, there are times to be quiet, and there are times when something must be said. Quote, Again and again, we shall be called to meet the influence of men who are studying sciences of satanic origin, through which Satan is working to make a non-entity of God and of Christ. The truth that God has given for his people in these last days should keep them firm when they come into the church. When into the church there come those who present false theories. Manuscript 23, 1908. Well, now we come to a crucial item. We have learned that passively listening to air has a hypnotic effect on the one listening. That's important. Now, as soon as you recognize that fact, what you are hearing does not fit the Bible spirit of prophecy pattern or just does not ring right, and yet you continue listening, what have you done? You have said to the holy angels guarding you, I am willing to let this man implant air into my mind. When you know that air is there and yet you continue on with it, and you remain there, you are saying to the angels, you can leave. I'm taking care of myself. And whenever you are willing to let someone do it, you are letting him begin the process of taking over your mind. My friend, get out of there. Quoting, Satan tempted the first Adam in Eden, and Adam reasoned with the enemy, thus giving him the advantage. That's just what we're talking about. Satan exercised his power of hypnotism over Adam and Eve, and this power he strove to exercise over Christ. But after the word of Scripture was quoted, Satan knew that he had no chance of triumphing. 5 Bible Commentary, 1081. Why was that? That was because Christ was depending on the word of God and would not consider the error. If you are depending on the word of God, you will not consider the error either. And what is error? How do we define it? Or I should say, how can you know when you may be listening to air? Here is the answer. Whenever someone presents a concept to you which you have never read in the spirit of prophecy, then there's a very good likelihood you are listening to air. It is as simple as that. If it seems strangely new, then beware of it. New ideas can be fascinating, and air is especially fascinating. Satan puts a hypnotic aura around it, because Satan fevers the mind with excitement as soon as it is accepted. That is what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And one error accepted will lead to another. Soon your mind is captured, your will is controlled, and another spirit controls you. Read again the experience in Genesis 3. Read it carefully. Quote, there are doctors and ministers who have been influenced by the hypnotism exercised by the father of lies. Notwithstanding the warnings given, Satan's sophistries are being accepted now just as they were accepted in the heavenly courts. The science by which our first parents were deceived is deceiving men today. Ministers, physicians are being drawn into the snare. Manuscript 79, 1905. To passively listen to air has a hypnotic effect on anyone willing to submit to the experience. To quietly listen to air will affect those around you, and it will affect you also. This is a serious matter. What about your husband, your wife, your children, which are sitting next to you? Yes, quietly listening to air can have solemn consequences. It can bring turmoil afterward to your entire family. Quote, Satan has not been stupid and careless these many years since his fall, but has been learning. He has grown more artful. His plans are laid deeper and are more covered with a religious garment to hide their deformity. The power of Satan now to tempt and deceive is tenfold greater than it was in the days of the apostles. His power has increased, and it will increase until it is taken away. 2 Spiritual Gifts, 277. By quietly listening to air, you are permitting your mind to go off guard. You know that strange, misleading errors are being presented, and yet you are willing to keep listening to the man. More error barrages you, and your mind cannot take it. Soon it hypnotically succumbs in passive assent. It is time for action. The human mind cannot handle a pile of error. It is only able to take new concepts slowly, point by point, as it carefully considers them and compares them with the Word of God. But you will find that the speaker is very anxious that that not happen. He conquers best by overwhelming the mind. It is a snow job. He just keeps pouring it on. And if someone stops to question him or object, he becomes upset. But speakers who do this are not sincere. They are not really your friend. They do not want to help you. They want to conquer you. So you think, I should be genteel and quietly listen and say nothing. But that's exactly what the speaker wants you to do and what you dare not do. My friend, there are times we must speak up and warn our friends and our loved ones, and then we must leave. And best do all three, and when you leave, take as many as you can with you. Quote, God knows how Satan is working and sends his angels to watch over his children, to protect them from the devil's power. And the battle is constantly going on between the angels of God and the devil's angels. The angels of God are clothed with a complete armor, the panoply of heaven. And although surrounded with deadly foes, fear nothing, for they are doing the will of their loved commander. They enter the darkest places to rescue the children of God from the snares of Satan, and their presence causes the evil angels to fall back. I saw that the angels of God are not to force or bend the will of the individual that they watch over. They are to gently chide, warn, and guard. Satan can never force back these holy angels from their charge. No one can do this but the individuals that they are watching over. If these individuals continue to grieve these tender holy angels, if they go astray from their counsel and warnings and choose an independent course of their own, they will drive these angels from them. Oh, my friend, we must not do that. But if the will is submitted to them, they will bend it in the heavenly channel, and they will ever be on the watch for their interest, leading them from a thousand dangers, preventing their lives from being taken by Satan. And if they are inclined to go into a wrong course, stand in the path before them to prevent their ruin. Thank the Lord. But, oh, my friend, if individuals continue to retain their own will, choose their own course, and have their own way, the angels leave them in sadness. And then Satan comes in to control the will and bend the mind and smiles in hellish triumph at his success. That's two spiritual gifts, 277, 278. Do not listen to error. Do not dabble in it. If an audio tape or a video is playing and a point of error is presented, you need to turn it off. Speak up, object, state your reasons for objecting. And if only a few are with you, then it's time to leave. But if you start to read a publication and find error in it, it's best to discard it. Remember, there's not enough time in your life to check out all the publications in the world for error. You do not have enough years in your life to search for all the truths and uninspired writings. All you have time for is to soak in God's Word and help those around you to live better and come to a knowledge of that Word. You could spend a lifetime listening to every new idea that comes along and still never hear all the new error that is continually being invented. Give your attention to the Bible and to the spirit of prophecy, and instead of analyzing for error, you'll grow in the truth and prepare for heaven. Quote, he who has a knowledge of God and His Word has a settled faith in the divinity of the Holy Scriptures. He does not test the Bible by man's ideas of science. He brings these ideas to the test of the unerring standard. He knows that God's word is truth, and truth can never contradict itself. Whatever in the teaching of so-called science contradicts the truth of God's revelation is mere human guesswork. 8 Testimonies 3:25. I have been shown that we must be guarded on every side and perseveringly resist the insinuations and devices of Satan. He has transformed himself into an angel of light and is deceiving thousands and leading them captive. The advantage he takes of the science of the human mind is tremendous. Here, serpent-like, he imperceptibly creeps in to corrupt the work of God. The miracles, the works of Christ, he would make appear as a result of human skill and power. He therefore transforms himself into an angel of light and works upon the mind to allure from the only safe and right path. The sciences of phrenology, psychology, and mesmerism are the channel through which he comes more directly to this generation and works with that power which is to characterize his efforts near the close of probation. 1 Testimonies 2:90, written in 1862. What a statement. Quote, while it is believed that one human mind so wonderfully affects another, Satan, who is ready to press every advantage, insinuates himself and works on the right hand and on the left. And while those who are devoted to these sciences laud them to the heavens because of the great and good works which they affirm are wrought by them, they little know what a power for evil they are cherishing. But it is a power which will yet work with all signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Mark the influence of these sciences, dear reader, for the conflict between Christ and Satan is not ended. Signs, November 6, 1884. And quote, the Lord has shown me in vision that mesmerism was from the devil, from the bottomless pit, and that it would soon go there with those who continued to use it. Early Writings, 21, and that was written in 1882. Oh, my friend, Christ is our victory. If we will but hide in him, we will be safe. We are told, quote, all the satanic legions cannot injure you unless you open yourself to the arts and the arrows of Satan. Your ruin can never take place until your will consents. If there is not pollution of mind in yourself, all the surrounding pollution cannot touch the mind or intellect unless we yield it to him. 6 Bible Commentary 11:05. Yes, my friend, there is hope in the Lord. There is safety in the Lord and in his word. Oh, my friend, may we trust him always and will be always protected from the hypnotic influences of Satan. For we're told in Psalm 71, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And we're told in Psalm 119, verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word.